you're speaking against your own life. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, you see. So in other words, when you start speaking like that, seem as though that I'm going to always be by myself. I don't think nobody going to never marry me, you see. When you continue to begin to speak like that, that calls these words to go out into the universe and they find their match. And the next thing you know, here is the hindrance. Here is the stumbling blocks. And you're not realizing that you did it to yourself with your words. You are building Jericho walls and hindrance between you and your blessings with your words. So you are snared by the words of your mouth. Nobody else's mouth. No, it's your mouth. So that's why we got to work on cleaning that speech up and begin to speak kingdom. Begin to speak that word of God. Begin to speak that word of faith. Get up in the morning and tell yourself, I am what God says I am. I can have what God says I can have. And I can do everything that God says I can do. Now, when you begin to speak like that, I am the blessed of the Lord. And I'm blessed coming in. And I'm blessed going out. Let me tell you what happens. Heavens responds to that. Kingdom responds to that. God is saying, that's my son. That's my daughter. Listen, they talking like me. They speaking like me. They calling things that be not as though they were, you see. So now God watches over his word to perform it. So every time I speak the word of the Lord and I begin to speak that Isaiah 1 and verse 19, if thou be willing and obedient, thou shalt eat the good of the land. God, I'm obedient. Now, God, I want to thank you that I eat the good of the land. See, the kingdom, God watches over that. And by you speaking that and believing that, God performed that in your life. We're going to pick back up tomorrow. But I tell you, this is going to be a powerful word this week. Your mouth, it will bless you up or it will mess you up. I got to go, but I see you on tomorrow's broadcast.
You've been listening to the Word of Faith Kingdom Church broadcast with Pastor James Broadnax. The church is located at 4210 South MacArthur Drive in Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. To correspond with Pastor Broadnax, write to P.O. Box 8781, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71306. Or call 318-427-9255. That's 318-427-9255. And be sure to join us next time for another faith-filled word with Pastor Broadnax on the Word of Faith Kingdom Church broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Thank you for joining us today for Joyful with Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road, here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Now let's go to the Word.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Thank you. God be so good to us. Hallelujah. Put a smile on our face, Genesis, even when you don't feel like smiling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Treat your enemies right. It'll do all that, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, everybody. So good to be in the house one more time. I don't know about you, but I look, when I come into the house, I come expecting something. Because I don't want to leave out the same way I came. Hallelujah. All right, I got a surprise for y'all today. All right. All right, I'm coming from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Told you, it's a three-part thing. I don't know what God coming up with next. I didn't expect this, but I don't have no choice but to preach. This is not my thing. This God's day. And I'm doing his day. Because I'm being blessed by what he doing. Hallelujah. He wake me up every morning. Thank you, Jesus. And not only that, though, he allowed me to be close in my right mind, Genesis. And not only that, Genesis, he allowed me to see you this morning. And wave at you this morning. And shake my leg this morning. He did that. Hallelujah. So I praise him. Like Pastor said, I don't need no help. God been too good to me to worry about whether or not you praising him. I praise him in my room. I praise him in my bedroom, my bathroom. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead.
Let me go.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you. First Thessalonians 4. Y'all got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I'm ready for this. I'm ready. And I pray to God it bless somebody's soul on the day. Because it sure blessed me. Like Sister Jackie sent me a message. I meant it, but it's a time, a set time for everything. So we're going to take care of that other later. Sister Tina, Sister Jackie. Sister Camille, boy, if y'all just get up here, Sister Shalay, and add to this praise team, the walls are blast off. It just blow up. I mean, it'll come down. Jackie, I don't hear you say nothing. I don't expect to hear you say nothing. But I'm telling you what the Spirit of the Lord say. So don't get mad with me. All right, Sister Jackie, praise the Lord. Beginning at verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, we're talking to Christians, church folks, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The topic is, be encouraged in the face of death. Father God, I come as humbly as I know how, lifting you up and magnifying your holy name, because God, you are the ruler, provider, and sustainer of our lives, and we worship and magnify you on this day, God. Father God, we came in with praises in our mouths. We came in with hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and we just lifting that all up to you, God, because you are so good. So, Father God, I decrease that you may increase in me with miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Remember when I preached on last month, I said that this was a three-part series. Now, this last month I talked on watch and be ready. And that came out of Matthew 24:42-44, where Jesus is speaking of his coming. And he also used Noah and his family in the ark as a warning to us today, letting us know that you will not know the day, the hour, the month, the year when he's coming back. So that's why he say, just watch and be ready. Amen. And Jesus also used Noah as being a picture of the church, which is a rapture before the tribulation. So that's why we're sticking with this right here. Usually, this is what, and I'm always doing this scripture. Somebody asked me to speak. I encourage them with 1 Thessalonians 4 because it's an encouragement for those that have passed. Now, 1 Thessalonians was Paul's earliest New Testament letter because it started in Acts 17. And the two letters to Thessalonians gives a setting for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And I'm going to try not to go too fast because we really need to understand this. I don't want to try to confuse you, but we need to understand. We're living in a time that we don't know what's going to happen. We're living in a time that we don't know whether Jesus come today. But what he's telling us to do is watch and be ready. And then while you're watching and being ready, be encouraged. Don't be scared. Be encouraged when you come in the face of death. Amen. So here it is. It was Paul, Silas, and Timothy visit the city of the on their second missionary journey. But see, persecution forced Paul to leave early. And so when he left early, then Paul sent Timothy back there to the church to help out. And when Timothy rejoined Paul, he brought good news and bad news. You know, sometimes we got good news and we got bad news. The good news was that the Thessalonians was faithful while they was being persecuted. You know, a lot of times when we've been persecuted, we're ready to throw in the towel or say, I'm not taking none of this. But they stayed faithful. Now, these are new Christians. They just got into it. So for them to stand up against the persecution, older Christians have sometimes a problem with that. So, but here they are, was new Christians in it, amen? And the bad news was their failure to completely break away from their old ways. Ha, that's another thing we do. We don't break away. We break away from some things, but we don't break away from it all. So when you God know what you need to break away with and everything that you need to break away. So you're not fooling him. You're fooling yourself. And when he say break away or stop doing what you've been doing, that's exactly what he mean. Amen. And it explains more in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians verses 1 through 8 that says they were still looking at death and bereavement as others look at it. Amen. So by writing to them, Paul thought, see, you know, his intentions was to advise them to away from grieving excessively when someone passed. And that's why the Apostle Paul in verse 13 said to the Thessalonians, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He don't want you ignorant when it comes to concerning the one that have passed on. Amen. He said there are some things which we cannot be but ignorant of because we don't know it all. In other words, there are some things that are unknown that we'll never know until Jesus come back again. But then on the other hand, he said there is no reason why we should be ignorant of those that have died in Christ. Because the reason why that, because those that are asleep refers to Christians who have died and whose spirits is in heaven. So the Thessalonians problems was they was worried about, we worry about too much thing that belongs to God. And so they was worried about what's going to happen to those that have already went on. You know, those, their family and their friends. What's going to happen to them when Jesus come back? So Paul went on to explain that to the Thessalonians, death is not the end of the story. And that's when Christ returned, all believers, not some, but all believers that are alive will be reunited and will never suffer and die again. I don't know about this good news. Amen. They also did not understand how the resurrection of Christians who had already died relate to the catching up of living Christians at the coming of Christ. See, they was worried about all of that. And so